Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Karen Collins. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you.
So Karen is a new member of our session. She's just joined us as an elder here at Christ Community. And as is our tradition, we always bring you in here, put a microphone in front of you, and just want to get to know you. So welcome. Glad to have you here.
I appreciate you having me.
So tell us, just for starters, where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
My husband and I both grew up in Black Mountain, went through grade school and high school, and then attended Montreat when it was a two-year college.
Yeah.
And got married, moved away, and went to Belhaven, Jackson, Mississippi, and finished up a teaching degree in Mississippi. And
Very
then
good.
Moved back to the area and taught in McDowell County for a few years. And then we moved to Florida for about 22 years.
Wow.
And so we have been back in the Valley for close to 7 years now.
Wow.
But we have lots of family in the area, and it's home.
Well, you're also just one of the rarest of rare these days, which is an actual native of Black Mountain.
Yeah.
So you went to Montreat. I, of course, am an alumni, too, of Montreat.
I actually came to know Christ while I was attending Montreat my first year.
Really?
I thought I was a Christian, and if you would have asked me, I would have said I was a Christian.
Oh, yeah.
But it was attending chapel services, having to take Bible, that I really started pondering more of where I was with the Lord and hearing Him speak to my heart.
Right.
And convicting.
Do you remember who taught you Bible here at Montreat?
Estelle Brousseau.
Yes.
And she was awesome. She would answer question after question. And often my questions were from a different angle, like I would ask for someone else, but it was really for me.
Well, tell us about coming to Christ. My experience is like that. I think I was what you might call a cultural Christian.
Right.
I grew up in a Christian family and in the South, and and it wasn't until I was 20 that I actually became a believer. I really gave my life to Christ. What about you? How did that happen?
Well, I was raised in a home where we were taken to church and we were taught a respect of God and the Scripture. But there wasn't a deep, I guess, family Christian experience in a way that was... it was kind of just something you did. It wasn't a, I don't know how to really describe it, but there, as I grew up in a church and had been taught, you know, memorized scripture. And I, like I said, believed I was a Christian. But as I started reading the Bible and preparing for Bible tests, and my heart just really came under conviction of this seems so real to some people, but I don't feel that. And about that same time, I have a twin brother, and he was attending a Bible study that was on Cherry Street in Black Mountain. And my brother Charlie and I grew up, he seemed to be a little more mischievous in things our high school years than I was. And so in my comparison, if someone had asked, I would have thought I was more the good girl, so to speak. And as I saw Charlie coming to know Christ and his excitement and enthusiasm, I'm thinking, he has something I don't have. And so, which was a beautiful thing, that sort of that jealousy was stirred up within me, that I wanted to experience the amazing relationship that he had. And so after, you know, him sharing testimony and going to his baptism and then also the experience at Montreat, one Sunday I was in a church with my grandmother, who this church actually met in what used to be the Wild Hare. I was at a church service there with my grandmother, and I don't remember the sermon at all, but I do remember a sense of the Holy Spirit's powerful conviction that my life was not my own, that I was bought at a price. And I needed to ask God about the choices in my life. It wasn't just Karen making the choices.
I have to ask you this. Were Phil and Edna Edwards involved in that
church?
They
were.
Oh, my
They were my
word.
Next door neighbors when I was growing. Well, they moved in, of course, after
right.
we did. They built their home. But yes, Phil and Edna Edwards lived next door, and I think it was Phil's mother, Grandmother Harmon, lived in the lower section. And so I would actually venture as a child down to their house and visit with her.
That is amazing. Do you know Edna Edwards in particular, both Edna and Phil, but particularly Edna is one of the biggest influences in my life.
Really?
Because I worked for the Billy Graham Association for 10 years, and she was the manager that I worked mm-hmm. under. And she was an amazing, godly woman of integrity.
Yes. I felt very blessed when I look sometimes at the stepping stones and the people the Lord put in my life, even as a child, that he was really waving flags, you know, saying, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. So, right.
But when did you get married? When did that
happen? Right after I graduated from Montreat. I was already dating my husband.
Yeah.
And he was ready for us to get married.
Yeah.
But I had this strong feeling that if I got married, I would never finish college. Because I'd heard that story so many times, and I kept insisting that we had to wait till I did my bachelor's. And but I knew enough about the Lord that I kept praying and asking him, Lord, what? If he is a Christian and I'm a Christian and he's convicted that we're supposed to get or, you know, confident that we're supposed to be married and I'm really feeling scared to death to do that. And amazingly, one day I was driving off campus and this was something I had grueled with for months, you know, trying to discern how can it seems like we would be in agreement on if we're both hearing you. And as I was driving off the campus right in front of the library, I stopped at the stop sign. And the thought of marriage sort of just popped into my head. And as soon as it did, almost simultaneously, I heard the Lord say, get married. And that was the very first experience. And of course, I was a babe in the Lord. And this was probably, you know, 5-6 months out from actually accepting Christ and getting baptized that I heard him say, get married. And I was like in shock because I was thinking, that was not me, you know, and the realization that I can hear his voice, you know, and that he does hear my cries. He is very concerned with me wanting to walk in his will, and I just need to be listening so that I do. And of course, we did get married, and I've never doubted for one minute that it was truly his will and his design to go ahead and get married. And we did finish college, so.
Well, as you've walked through your life, what has the role of the church been in your life over these many years since you came to Christ?
The role has been so significant, I think, in one that the Lord has provided some very strong leadership in the churches that he has led us to over the years. In Jackson, Mississippi, it was First Pres of Jackson, Jim Baird, who was the pastor there. And then, of course, the church we were in Florida had very strong leadership, and as well, that's where we are now. And the body of Christ, for me, is so significant in the need that I have discovered, not only that I have, but everyone, and that how we learn and grow from each other. And I have been surrounded by some amazing women and men that have walked strongly with the Lord and have set a great example and have taught Scripture well. And I'm grateful every Sunday to step into the church with the body of Christ and feel like I am having the opportunity to grow in my worship and to be fed in ways that I can't grow and glean even on my own in the Scripture.
Yeah. And you have graciously accepted the role of elder at Christ Community Church. What's your perspective on that role and what it's all about and what you feel like is important for elders in the church?
Well, for me, stepping into that role has been sort of a fear and trembling, you know, because it feels like a very big responsibility as you seek to hear God and hear the body in what is best for the congregation and what the Lord desires to grow and be honored among us and in the community. And so I'm very thankful for the opportunity, and I know the Lord is going to use it to grow me, because each time in my life that He has called me into something that's been much bigger than I could even imagine operating in, He grows me and stretches. And so I'm expecting that to take place for myself, but also trusting that as He chooses and puts people in place, that there is a role that I am to play and be a part of in bringing about His will and His way for the body.
Yeah. Well, I relate to the fear and trembling, and I appreciate your humble attitude about that. I think we've been really blessed with elders who have had that perspective. That's a healthy perspective, I think, for any elder in a church. What do you feel like is your sense of where God is calling Christ Community, or do you have a clear sense of that?
I'm not sure it's super clear. I see His hand moving in so many ways, and the beauty of the people in the congregation that He has raised up to minister in very extravagant ways, I think, in the community, and such a variety, you know, from Swan River Valley Christian Ministry to the children's home to the prison to Williams Place, you know, Ministry of Hope. I mean, there's just so many places that God has just multiplied and is continuing to multiply. And that's what the body's about, you know. Not only are we there for each other individually and serving, but that the Lord has called us out. And that as we grow in our relationship with Him and spreading His truth and His love and His care, and there's wonderful growth taking place in our body, which is really exciting. And it's not just a growth of numbers, but I think the numbers are growing, but also the depth and breadth of relationship with Him individually and connected with small groups and the body as a whole. So it's very powerful, and watching that take place, and I feel amazingly blessed to settle here, to be a part of that. And I know God has a whole lot more. You can, in my spirit, I am feeling God, you know, just like breaking out in a way that I think none of us maybe at this point can comprehend all that what God is wanting and desires to do among this body of believers.
Yeah. What's a week in the life of Karen Collins like?
Well, my favorite time of the day is mornings, although I like all of the day, but mornings I am blessed to be able to have a block of time in the morning that I can be still and that I can look out over the mountains and worship and pray and read and just settle in, you know, with the Lord. And I'm so grateful for that, you know, that there is calm, there is peace, not only in the surrounding area, you know, we're not in a war zone, and there is much beauty that can just be taken in. But my days have variety in the sense that no two are alike. I have a couple of elderly aunts that I try to see to and take care of to a degree. They are in the McEwen Center, but keeping tabs on them and they need something. My mom has also been living with us part-time as she has gone through surgery and has been ill, and she kind of hops around between daughters at the present, but we are getting ready to, she has found a place that she likes, and so she'll be going back into living on her own fairly soon. But just keeping up with my mama and enjoying her, you know, as much as I can. She's moved from South Carolina, so I haven't had her live with me or near me for about 30 years. So that is very exciting. And getting to be with my husband, usually, you know, throughout each day, he works from home. And so that is a sweet place to be as well. I am involved with the prison ministry at the Solano Correctional Center for Women and have been helping to teach or just come alongside the dance team there and do Bible study and pray with individual inmates and hear their story. Working with the chaplain there is a great honor. I'm trying to think, what else do I do with my day?
It and sounds pretty full
laundry
so far.
And cooking food and working in the yard. And I counsel as well. So I have a small counseling practice and see clients and do some groups with that.
How can the congregation best support the leadership of the church, both the staff and also the elders and deacons in the church?
Well, I think it applies to not only the congregation towards staff and leadership, but leadership reciprocating, that we each give each other a whole lot of grace and a whole lot of love and a listening ear that's very attentive to the details of their life and praying, you know, setting aside a day that's dedicated to praying for our church, for our leadership, and, you know, the different entities within the church. That I think that's what makes a strong body of believers.
Well, speaking of praying, will you pray for us as a congregation?
I would love to. Father, we are so thankful for your grace and your love and your goodness and the blessings you pour into our life daily. Father, make us a church of gratitude, a church that sees you moving and working moment by moment in the details of our individual life and the enormous love that you have for us specifically. Father, draw us into your word that we would just wallow in your presence, that we would just be still in your presence, that we would know you more fully, that we would hear you clearly, and that we would proclaim you boldly. I pray, Father, that as we grow and expand in numbers and in ministry, that we would constantly keep our hand on your pulse and what your heartbeat is for us, that we would not take a step to the right or the left or in any direction, Lord, that is not fully of your direction. We thank you, Lord, for caring so dearly for us and for giving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.